You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
About 46 million Americans have no health insurance at all. This past March, we aired a segment on how the uninsured can get health insurance, with listeners calling in to get advice from two experts, Jim Brown of the Health Insurance Resource Center, a program sponsored by the Actors Fund, and attorney Bob Hayes, president and general counsel of the Medicare Rights Center. We've decided to re-air the segment today in the hopes that it might help a few more people. But remember, this is a repeat broadcast, so please don't call in. I started out by asking Bob and Jim if America's uninsured population is made up of the very poorest Americans.
Not always. First of all, the word uninsured has almost no meaning these days because, yeah, your number of 46 million Americans uninsured is true. But almost all Americans right now, if they're not uninsured, are either underinsured or at best anxiously insured. So it's something that really does cut across the fabric of all society. Almost all of us are one major sickness or one job loss away from being really in the soup.
And then even if you have insurance, so you have experiences like the one I just had where I received a bill for $760 for seeing a podiatrist. And I thought my insurance is going to cover it. I don't know. They sent some notice saying this is not covered.
And maybe it was covered, but
$760. I can't afford that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that gets us nuts is one of the obvious business practices in the private for-profit insurance business is to deny, delay payments. And how many folks are able to fight through that paper?
And also, you have the sort of the unholy three of the health care field. Radiologists, pathologists, and anesthesiologists. So no matter what plan you're in, whether it's an HMO or PPO, you're going to receive a bill from these people.
But let's talk about the people who are totally uninsured. We're not just talking about the unemployed. Also, the working poor?
More and more employers around the country are cutting health care. It's going on for working people, and it's going on clearly for retirees who used to have some degree of assurance to have at least supplemental care for their cover their non-covered Medicare expenses. So the group of folks who are facing kind of the very risky life of not being able to get health care when they need it is larger and larger. The number of people uninsured during the course of a year is about 75 million in this country.
Well, there are a lot of people who are self-employed or freelancers.
Yeah,
they don't make enough to pay high premiums, but
that's largely the group that we deal with, who are artists, self-employed freelancers, people in the performing arts. And the cost now to purchase a plan, an HMO plan for an individual in New York, is about $600 a month. For a family, it's almost $1,800 a month.
And when you say New York, are we more expensive than other parts of the country?
To some extent, it depends upon what type of system they have in a state. For example, in California, you can get a fairly inexpensive plan if you're very healthy and you're 22 years old because they take it into that into account. It's called experience rated. In New York, it's community rated, and so everybody in the same county is going to pay the same amount. So whether you're 22 years old or 64 years old, you're going to pay that amount for the insurance.
Is it at all possible to get preventative care, regular doctor visits and the like without health insurance?
Yes, you can. You can go to clinics like the Ryan Centers. You can go to a doctor's office and pay the price, the full fare of visiting a doctor's office, which is probably now about $165 to $180.
Well, why should people purchase health insurance when they can get free care at a clinic?
The free care, the Actors Fund runs a free clinic. It's the Al Hirschfeld Free Health Clinic on 57th Street and 10th Avenue.
And Al Hirschfeld is a role model for us all. He lived into his 90s.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the reasons it's named after him. But you're going to get family care there, essentially, and it's those things which have to do with flu or have to do with bronchitis or those things which can be handled by a family physician. If it's anything more serious, you're going to have to go to a hospital, and you're going to have to go to a specialist, and then you're going to be uninsured.
We'll be able to talk clearly about the ways one can try to navigate, when you're under great distress, a system such as we have in this city and in this country. But we have to remember that we are the only industrialized country in the world that does not cover everybody. And we have such massive deprivation of health care, even though we spend about twice as much per capita as every other country in the world. So something's fundamentally terribly wrong with the system we have.
But even the plans that have been proposed, like the one during the Clinton administration, would not have been comparable to what we see in other countries.
And it's because there is this political noose around the neck of our Congress and of our White House, frankly, by insurance and drug companies that have been able to prevent our political system from doing what other countries have done.
How much of it is just Cold War remnant? I remember when the first universal health care plan was proposed during the Eisenhower administration, and he called it creeping socialism.
And when Medicare in 1965 was signed into law by President Johnson, the American Medical Association used that same term, said the Bolsheviks were taking over. And, you know, we do have to look at Medicare as one of the few national success stories in this country, because it has made old age in America better and longer.
Well, we'll talk about Medicare, Medicaid, and other things as we continue this conversation, but we're getting a lot of calls, and maybe some of them will actually prompt discussions of these things. My guests are Jim Brown of the Health Insurance Resource Center and Bob Hayes, an attorney and president and general counsel of the Medicare Rights Center. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Damien from Weehawken. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi, how you doing? Let me shut my radio off because obviously I'm on some kind of delay here.
And that does get confusing, doesn't it?
Okay, sorry about that. I'm a jazz musician, and my question is, there is a big problem with having health care as a jazz musician, and I know there are plans in place for actors and so forth, but for musicians, can they go about the same kind of thing? I'm facing a point in which I need to have some health issues, concerns addressed, and I don't have insurance currently.
And there's no, and are you a member of the Musicians Union?
Actually, I am not right now.
Yeah, well, Local 802, of course, offers a health insurance plan. New Jersey is a particularly difficult state for insurance. It's a guarantee issue state, meaning you can go and purchase a plan. It's going to cost you about $425 a month for an HMO.
Yeah.
in New Jersey. There are also, I believe, Working Today, which is also called the Freelancers Union, and uses an HIP, an HMO called HIP in New York, and they permit people to join them who live in New Jersey but who can get their care in New York. That's going to cost you between $187 and about $287 a month. So it's quite a bit cheaper. So you should look into Working Today, I think, is a possibility for you.
Do you earn enough money playing jazz to afford $280 a month?
Yes, I could afford that. Actually, I was really the things that I was finding healthcare that was decent quality healthcare was somewhere along the lines of $500 or $600. My concern presently actually is just with dental. I need to have certain dental surgery done, and I'm at a situation where I could possibly have a problem with a nerve that's very close to one of the teeth I need to have extracted.
And is that related to the instrument you play?
Well, yes. If something happens and I lose the muscle, the nerve strength or the muscle strength, and it's one side of my face, I'm probably going to have a big difficulty playing. I'm a woodwind player. Yeah. So.
Thank you for calling us, Damien.
And
is that something that would affect his taxes? Because if the medical treatment is job related.
Yes, it would. And also, he should know that there are charitable organizations. The Actors Fund is one. The Actors Fund is not just for actors. It's for everybody in the performing arts and entertainment industry. And he can apply to financial aid, to the Actors Fund, to Music Cares. And there are a number of others that are listed on our website if he needs assistance like that and doesn't have insurance.
And we will post your website on our website, and people
Great.
Can also go to your websites. Judy from Greenpoint. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi, Leonard. I just wanted to ask your guests, I fell down last November, and I thought I was fine. I woke up the next morning, had to go to work. I do freelance work. I don't have any insurance. and my right ring finger was swollen. And I kept working. I had to cut a lot of fabric that day and things like that. I thought it was just jammed and the swelling would go down. I kind of elevated it and that sort of thing. Long story short, I went to an osteopath just 3 weeks ago. I have to have surgery. It's just a mess.
Anybody have any solution here?
It's a pre-existing condition, so if you get the insurance, the insurer will not pay for that. But you have to remember that you can do the same thing with a healthcare provider or a hospital that insurers do. That is, you can negotiate either a payment plan with them or payment for that. But I think, you know, Bob might want to come in here because this is the awful situation that we're in. The Actis Fund constantly deals with people who are in ruinous medical debt, and that's what we've created for those who are uninsured.
And that's because they're gambling. And in this case, Judy assumed she was young and healthy and wouldn't have a problem, and then she fell, and the next thing you know, she has a serious problem.
Well, it's a gamble no matter what you do. There are people who think they have pretty secure insurance because they've been sold a bill of goods that proves to leave so much out-of-pocket expenses for the patient that they, too, can go into absolute impoverishment because of the need for some even relatively minor surgery. So I think that the best that our organization often can do at the Medicare Rights Center, same as the Actors Fund, is try to kind of pull people, you know, out of the sea as they're drowning. But meanwhile, the construction of some kind of system that would protect our citizens, our neighbors, ourselves from this is something that just cannot be seriously discussed for whatever reason down in Washington these days.
Thank you so much for calling us, Judy. We'll take a little break and we'll come back with more of your calls. I also want to get into just what Medicaid will provide, what Medicare provides, and what other plans there are out there that people may or may not be aware of. Right now, there's so much confusion as far as Medicare is concerned. I think there are daily articles about the prescription drug plans. Finally, one in the New York Times the other day said that some people have actually benefited from it. My guests are Bob Hayes, an attorney and president and general counsel of the Medicare Rights Center, and Jim Brown of the Health Insurance Resource Center, a program sponsored by the Actors Fund. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Keep calling. We're back with a rebroadcast of a segment that was originally aired in March about how to get health insurance, which is a major problem for many people. But remember, you can't call in with your questions because this segment is on tape. I asked my guests, health insurance experts Jim Brown and Bob Hayes, about programs that help the hard-to-insure, programs like Working Today, for instance. And here's how they responded.
Yeah, it's an excellent program. This is an organization that is attempting to be the benefits office and human resources office for freelancers and self-employed people. They offer a number of different health insurance plans. They've negotiated well with HIP of New York and also with a company associated with HIP, Perfect Health. And I would suggest anyone to take a look at the plans they offer. They're going to save about $200 a month.
Are either of you familiar with Brooklyn's Woodhull Hospitals program for artists where they can trade services like painting murals or juggling for patients in exchange for health care?
Yeah, this is an innovative program. It's called Artist Access out of Woodhull Hospital, but it's part of the Health and Hospitals Corporation's options program. It's a terrific program, but it kind of shows us the situation we're in, where artists would have to barter their skills for if they do an hour's work, then they get 40 credits, healthcare credits, and that's great, but it's not health insurance.
What about Medicaid and Medicare? Who's covered by Medicaid?
Yeah, well, Medicaid is a state-by-state program across the country that covers very poor people, not only very low income, but very few assets, very little property. It also covers many people who age in nursing homes into poverty. It's a program that's under severe attack from this administration and the Congress right now, but it has been very much a safety net for the poorest Americans.
And why are they attacking? Because it's considered too expensive?
It's expensive, and it's a question of national priority. Do we want to put, you know, federal money into health care? Do we want to put it into other things such as tax cuts and, you know, other competing values? Medicare, on the other hand.
Wait, but what happens when people on Medicaid make more money than the maximum allowed? What is the maximum?
Again, it varies state to state, but it's about $13,000 or $14,000 in New York for a couple. So it's a very low.
For a year or for?
Annually. Annually, yes.
$13,000?
And it's a massive poverty program that, you know, again, has saved lives. And New York, again, because of the latitude that the federal governments give states, have created some add-on programs for families, for children, which have helped. And there's no question that New York has been a leader across the country in doing that.
And Medicare?
Medicare is much different than Medicaid. Medicaid tends to be a whipping boy politically because it's for very poor people who don't have a lot of political power. Medicare, on the other hand, is for just about every American, 65 and older, or who has been disabled severely for 2 years.
And then somebody on kidney dialysis, that's another exception.
That's a very small piece, kidney dialysis and Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. But the reason we think Medicare has been such a success are really two. One, we're all in it together. Rich and poor, it's like the best public school districts in the country. The people with political influence bring along the quality program for everyone else. And second, unlike the private health insurance business that unfortunately this administration is trying to bring into Medicare, it's efficient. It's much cheaper than the private health insurance systems that spend about 30 cents on every dollar on paperwork.
But don't you have to earn a certain number of work credits over a lifetime in order to be eligible for Medicare? What happens to people who haven't earned enough work credits, who have worked under the table, let's say, or have been disabled, had other problems, yeah, and really never made a lot of money?
Well, disability alone is an independent basis for Medicare.
But one guy's disability is not another one's.
No, it has to be a serious disability, no question. Another magic, it is a problem for sure, because there are people who hit 65 or older without the sufficient work credits, but they're allowed to buy into Medicare. I mean, a big solution for a lot of the uninsured people that we're talking about today would be to allow a buy into Medicare. Workers 55 to 64, for instance, who lose a job, are virtually uninsurable in any private marketplace. Let them buy in to the Medicare system. They'll get good, solid health care. Virtually every doctor, every hospital accepts it. And it would be a starting point to creating a system in the country that avoids the kind of debacles that we've been discussing.
But most people who are working when they hit when they hit 65 but continue working are told not to take anything but, what is it, Medicare B, because everything else is less than what they're going to get from their company's,
yeah,
plan.
It, depending on the size of the employer, and it gets a little complicated, Leonard, the lesson is that generally if you hit 65, your Medicare kicks in and you can get, if you will, secondary insurance to pay some of the extra expenses from your employer coverage.
Let's take some more calls. Our number is 212-433-9692. Amy from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopez Show.
Hi, Leonard. I'm on the board of the Editorial Freelancers Association, which is, the way it sounds, it's for freelancers, and we offer health insurance for our members. And we've had increasing problems. There was, for example, Cigna pulled out of offering insurance through associations in New York State several years back. And we had to try to find alternative coverage. We find premiums are going up, and so are copays and other costs. It is certainly less still than getting private insurance individually. For example, I was just looking up for one plan. We have it's going up next month to about $425 a month for singles, and nearly $1,300 for families,
and that's a lot of money, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And this is
absolutely
just insurance.
Sure. For, especially when you're getting in, this is a group policy through an association, but one of the programs that we haven't mentioned is Healthy New York, and this is a program for people who are working, individuals who make less than $24,000 a year, and can get a plan for about $186 a month. It's missing certain things. There's no mental health benefit with it. There's no physical therapy benefit. There's a limit on pharmacy, and there's a $500 copay if you go into the hospital. But small businesses can offer it, and one of the things we're trying to do with the Actors Fund is expand Healthy New York so that it can be used by unions and Amy, perhaps associations like yours can offer this to their members.
What about students? They don't work? And they get sick, too. Do schools provide any kind of plans?
They do, yeah. Actually, this City University of New York offers an excellent plan for someone who takes six or more credits, and we suggest that to people if they're thinking of going back to school and they need health insurance. It might those two things might coincide.
It might even be worth going to school.
Yeah.
My guests are Jim Brown and Bob Hayes. We're talking about health insurance in a time when it's getting more and more difficult to be covered, and if you are covered, it becomes more and more expensive. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org, and we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Chris from New York, you're on New York Public Radio.
Hi.
Yes, Chris.
I'm almost 30 years old, and I have epilepsy, and my epilepsy doesn't stop me from working, but if I have a seizure, it could be a real problem in my line of work because I'm a cook. So I don't make enough money to purchase insurance, to get insurance, but the small business that I work for can't really provide it either, and I'm in a rock and a hard place. It's horrible. It's frightening.
What does somebody like Chris do?
Chris, are you a freelance person? Are you on salary?
No, I'm on payroll.
On payroll, yeah.
It's
difficult. I don't know if there is a solution for you with that, except to go under the care of someone at one of the excellent clinics that are out there. I mentioned Ryan Clinic before.
I've been seeing a really great doctor in the Lower East Side, Dr. David Orris, who, mm-hmm. you know, calls me a tweener. I don't make enough money to get insurance, but I don't make so little money that I can go on a state, you know, project. So,
what is your income?
I make probably between 20 and 22.
Right. You will be eligible for Healthy New York then, if that is your income,
mm-hmm.
because you work 120 hours a week, and you should go put that right into Google, Healthy NY, and the state site will come up, and you should apply for a Healthy New York plan.
What about her pre-existing condition? Does that hurt?
Yeah, it will affect it. But that pre-existing condition, remember, they can only not pay a claim on that for up to 1 year. And since this is a condition you'll have all through your life, you need to get the insurance now, let that year go through, and then the insurer will need to cover that. The other thing you should know is that it's important for you in the future never to let more than 63 days lapse from one insurance to another, because if you keep going just from one insurance to another and there isn't that lapse, then you'll be protected against a pre-existing condition waiting period from any other insurer.
Right. I haven't had insurance since I moved out of my home because of when I was living in Maine, I was on a state-funded program there as a child, and they stopped funding it.
Right. For you getting Healthy New York, that's actually a good thing, because you can't get Healthy New York if you've had a private plan in the past year. So I would advise you to apply for a Healthy New York plan.
Thank you so much for calling
Thank
us.
You.
Steve from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi. I just wanted to explain a situation that I had recently. I went to an emergency room, and I was suffering from urinary retention, and I ended up the doctor gave me a quick exam. About a month later, I get a bill for over $1,000 from the hospital, and another additional $250 from the doctor himself. I had no insurance. Now, I had a similar problem and went to a clinic and was and paid $70 for roughly the same treatment and services that I received at the hospital. It seems I saw a 60 Minute piece on this as well. It seems like when you walk into the emergency room and you have no insurance, they can just charge you the moon.
And this is a sad situation where the poor are most likely to go to an emergency room, and then they're going to be charged more than they would otherwise.
Well, it's certainly. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob Hayes is going to respond.
Sure, I was going to say it's true of just about all medical services and also of drugs. If you go to a drugstore and you're uninsured, you're going to pay a Cadillac price, the most expensive price. Virtually no one else is paying.
But aren't hospitals, usually hospitals, aren't they also subsidized with public funds?
There's a quasi-scandal breaking out now about the limited amount of so-called charity care that hospitals are providing, but case after case after case of uninsured people getting billed the highest rate because they're not getting the benefit of any kind of group discount an insurer or a public entity like Medicaid or Medicare is getting. What they charge is backbreaking, and then folks get bills for tens of thousands of dollars and then have debt collectors going after them.
Right. Marie from Reading, Connecticut. Hi, you're on New York Public Radio.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. My daughter and my husband and I have a small business in New York, a spa, and it's a little over a year old, and we're looking at healthcare, trying to do healthcare affordably. So I wondered if you could kind of give us some guidance.
Yeah, you should. The first thing you should do is take a look at a website called Health Pass. Okay, and that organization is for small businesses, and they have about 20 or 25 different plans for small businesses. And you should be able to pick out one that makes sense for your business. That's where I would begin. And again, there's Healthy New York, depending upon the income of the people who are in the business.
And is it healthpass.com?
I believe it is. Again, just put that into a search engine, HealthPass, and that'll come up.
And Healthy New York, that is, though, for individuals?
It is for individuals, but it was actually created originally for small businesses who had been unable to offer health insurance to their employees.
So as a business, we could look at it.
That's right.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Thank you. When does a business become too big to get that sort of thing?
More than 20 employees.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go to Monica from Brooklyn.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
How are you? I have just a couple of points. I'm a hairdresser. I'm an independent contractor. I've tried to get health insurance with working today, and they don't take hairdressers for whatever reason, but they will take someone who does house cleaning for a living. And I tried Healthy New York, and the cutoff is way too low, but I don't understand why their cutoff isn't something like $40,000, and then why is the cost going up as technology goes on? Most other things go down and get cheaper, like computers. And so, like, why are we having a rising cost and then no one covering
two separate group? Questions here.
I can respond to the first, and I think Bob can respond to the second. Regarding working today, that's who you applied to, correct?
And I've tried a lot of organizations.
Okay. It's really dictated by HIP who can get the insurance and who can't get the insurance through working today. But working today isn't the only game in town. You're a hairdresser, and
yep.
you could apply to an org. I'll mention several. There's one called fracturedatlas.org.
Uh-huh.
There's another called Media Bistro.
You're
uh-huh.
carrying all of these around in your head.
That's
I'm
right.
so impressed.
And and both of these are arts service organizations, and both of them offer plans with HIP of New York, and I believe Media Bistro offers one with GHI as well. So I would take a look at those
Fractured
and see if
access?
You... Yeah, Fractured Atlas.
Oh, Atlas. Okay.
Atlas is one word. And Media Bistro, and see if you meet the eligibility requirements for those. It's not going to be quite as cheap as the working today, but it'll be much less expensive than purchasing a plan directly.
And Bob, why with technology getting more and more sophisticated, are prices going up?
Yeah, there are two reasons why healthcare prices go up. One is a good reason, the other is a bad reason. The good reason is technology does indeed improve our prospects of getting better health and longer lives, and that's working. And yes, it is expensive, and that's a good use of money.
We don't have any more time, and we have a lot of calls that bring up interesting topics. Maybe we could just take care of a few of them. Babysitter has a green card, has a bad shoulder. What does that person do? Is that person legal?
Yes, to purchase health insurance, sure.
So that person can get it. A woman is uninsured, thinking about getting pregnant. Is that going to be a real problem for her?
As long as she gets the insurance before she gets pregnant.
Otherwise, it's
quick.
A pre-existing condition.
It's not actually. The law in New York State is that pregnancy is not a pre-existing condition. It's just that the insurers, in their policies, the insurance only kicks in for pregnancy 10 months after you purchase the insurance.
One of the callers is a student, but not full-time, so he can't get it through his school. Is he just in trouble? Or does he have to get a job, a day job?
That's always a possibility for getting health insurance, yeah.
We thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. Jim Brown, Health Insurance Resource Center, which is a program sponsored by the Actors Fund. Bob Hayes, an attorney and president and general counsel of the Medicare Rights Center. And we thank you all for calling in. We will post as many of those numbers as we can on our webpage, with hopes that that will solve your problem. Otherwise, what do people do? Is there a place people can go if they want to have the questions we've been dealing with answered?
Yeah, our website, www.ahirc.org. Everything that I've said here is actually on that website.
And in terms of some of the larger issues, medicarerights.org is a pretty good resource.
Thank you both so much.